We are up to Perek Tes. We begin today Perek Tes. Divrei Hayamim. Aleph Perek Tes is a different type of Perek. We are learning a Perek now that's sandwiched in between first eight Perakim and Perek Yud. Starting with Perek Yud, to the end of Divrei Hayamim, we learn about history. We go back to the time of the Plishtim, the time of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, and go through the entire history of and encompasses Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Melachim. Yes, pretty much. So the first eight Perakim dealt with the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. Ezra HaSefer compiled a list of names, important names, and most of the names, the Yichus, ended at the latest, it appears, the time of David. I don't remember exactly. Maybe there was a few Yechidim that he did trace later, going to the time of the Bayis Sheni. Could be there was still, I'm not so sure even. But by and large, the names listed in the first eight Perakim go back from the Shvatim, you have Adam, Sheis, you go back from the very beginning as well, way back, but we don't really focus that much on, very, very little about what happened before Yaakov Avinu and his children. We focus on Yaakov, his children, and the generations that immediately followed from Yaakov, pretty much to the time of David, more or less. We skip generations, we focus on Yechidim, we don't mention other people, and the bulk was of Yehuda and Binyamin. Levi as well. Okay, we shouldn't only say Yehuda and Binyamin. We do focus on Levi, and everyone else was second fiddle. The other Shvatim, really, we did not give them much attention. We did give and that was the Rashi from yesterday. The reason why simply we did not give them attention is because Ezra did not have available to him lists of names from those Shvatim records, because those Shvatim were exiled by Melech Ashur 250 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, and they took with them all of their records, and he did not have those records available. That's the simple reason given. What?
Or
they were destroyed. So that's simply why he doesn't mention much about those Shvatim. Now, Perek Tes, though, on the other hand, we jump 500 years later. We skip over the time of David. David, shortly after David died, or David lived for 70 years, I don't know, Shlomo HaMelech, I think it was 11 years into his Malchus, something like that, 10 years into his Malchus, approximately, he built the Bayis Rishon, which lasted for 410 years, and then there was a Churban, and there were 70 years of Churban, and then there was a Bayis Sheni, and we have the first 10, 15, even until Ezra HaSefer came, it was, I think, 23 years later, right? It was
34 away is the date of the Bayis, and Ezra died in 28.
So how many years is that?
Oh, that's 20 years.
20 years, but he came back towards the very end of his life. He came back, so there's a very big gap. So we're dealing here with a gap of 500 years, at least.
Why
we skipped? Because now that's the question. We're skipping. What are we doing now, 500 years later? We're giving a list of major figures who are living during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the beginning. This is already after Ezra has come, after they built the Beis HaMikdash, and it's operational, and after the walls already have been built. It's just that there are, and a period of time when there were not many Olim who came from Babel living in Yerushalayim, living in Eretz Yisrael, and there were not enough people, in fact, living in Yerushalayim, and they had to import people, tax the people, make a lottery to demand that people from the other parts of Eretz Yisrael come and live in Yerushalayim and support the Beis HaMikdash, work in the Beis HaMikdash, in the institution, and they will be supported by the Tzibur. And we list all of these names. And in fact, Perek Tes pretty much is a copy, at least the first half, Perek Tes, is a copy of Sefer Nehemiah Perek Yud Aleph. In Sefer Nehemiah, Nehemiah lists who is living in his time, who are the people that are living in not only in Yerushalayim, but living in the entire Eretz Yisrael. And he gives all the names, the important people and their families. And pretty much that Ezra is taking pretty much the same exact records. Not, it's not obviously not the same because there are major discrepancies between the two, and he's giving us the same information. We learned yesterday Rashi actually addressed the question, why did Ezra write, repeat what Nehemiah already wrote in his Sefer Perek Yud Aleph? Because what we're about to learn now is Kimat the same time period. It's, well, let's assume it's 20 years into the Bayis Sheni. So Rashi says, because there were two records of what happened, and the two records contradict one another. If we had three records, and we had a majority, I wouldn't bother. So Rashi says, then Ezra would not have bothered. We would just follow record the majority, and we would ignore the minority opinion. But being that there are three, there are only two, Zugos, and we do not know which one is correct, which one is incorrect, I have no choice but to present both sides of the coin. There's what's been presented in Sefer Nehemiah, which seemingly was written by Nehemiah, and what's being presented here, which is the other record. That's a very similar approach to understand what's happening. However, there's a Ramban. This Ramban is developed in very great detail in Rabbi Eisenman's Arts Sefer and different and Nehemiah in the first part. This is not in the second part, this is the first part. It's a very long introduction to Perek Tes. He quotes a Ramban. The Ramban is not Chumash. It's a Ramban. He wrote a number of short Sfarim. I don't remember the name of the Sefer. It's a little like a Sefer from the Ramban. And there, in passing, the Ramban addresses this issue. What is going on between Sefer Nehemiah and Sefer? What's in general the whole purpose of Sefer Divrei Hayamim? And why in Sefer Divrei Hayamim is there a Perek Tes? Perek Tes stands like a sore thumb. It's Nishtahi Nishtaher. Perek Ches is giving us the Yichus of Klal Yisrael until the time of David HaMelech. And then starting with Perek Gu, we're giving you an actual record, a historical record of what happened. And in Perek Tes, we jump 500 years ahead, giving you a list of people who are living during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the pioneers of the Bayis Sheni. So, no, that's not possible. No, Divrei Hayamim. Ezra wrote Sefer Ezra and part of Nehemiah. So seemingly they were
correct.
Even if he did not actually write that part of Nehemiah, which has this list, he definitely appears to have been very well aware of Nehemiah's work. That's what it would seem. So the Yisod of the Ramban is a very powerful Yisod, and the Yisod is not developed fully by the Ramban himself because he only said a few words in passing, not in actually addressing the issue head on, that the purpose of Divrei Hayamim is, we mentioned this, is to give inspiration to the survivors to bring Mashiach. Record history. If you want to learn about history, there was a Sefer, Divrei Hayamim L'Malchei Yisrael. There's a different, it's not an historical book. It's to focus on events, very specific events, and very specific people, and very specific locations that were instrumental and are instrumental in bringing forth the Geula. In the world, there's a big world out there. There are a lot of nations. Not every nation has a part in bringing Mashiach. When Mashiach will come, then they will be participants. They will be part of the audience. They will do their thing to serve Hashem. But to bring Mashiach, to bring the Arshal Mashiach, if you want to trace the people and the events that led to that revelation, this is what is the agenda of Divrei Hayamim. And therefore, Perek Tes...
I'm not certain what you mean.
Okay, let me try to explain. Perek Tes, the point is...
If to bring the Mashiach.
Yeah.
As yet unbrought.
There was potential. At this point in time, during the building of the Bayis Sheni, they built a structure, they built the Beis HaMikdash, but the Shechina didn't rest. The Shechina did not return to the Bayis Sheni to the degree, to the intensity that it existed during the time of the Bayis Rishon. And in fact, we know, there's a Gemara discussed this, during the time of the Bayis Sheni, they fasted on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was a day of mourning. What are you talking about? It doesn't make sense. But you have the Beis HaMikdash, what are you fasting for? The answer is, the Bayis Sheni was not a full restoration of the Bayis. So, but... Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, all of the great people living at the time saw potential for Mashiach to come. This was an Eis Ratzon. Just like we have all the Gedolim, there are different times that are Mesugel for Mashiach to come. The Kates in this year and that year, it's a Zman where Mashiach is Mesugel to come. This was the most Mesugel, the time that was most Roy for the coming of Mashiach. Zerubbabel could have been Melech HaMashiach. If only the people, the members of Klal Yisrael, had the will, had the desire that it should be, had they made Aliyah, had everyone come, there was potential. And who are the people that have these sparks of potential, that can make it happen, that if it happens, they will be the ones that will lead? It are these people mentioned here in Perek Tes. And that's why the Ramban explains, together with a lot of elaboration by Rabbi Eisenman, is why the list here in Perek Tes is very different and partial to the relative to the list in Nehemiah Perek Yud Aleph. In Perek Yud Aleph and Nehemiah, there's a much greater picture. We don't only focus on Binyamin and what was happening in Yerushalayim, we focus on the entire Eretz Yisrael. A list of all the Shvatim, a list of many more people that lived in other regions in Eretz Yisrael. That's because Nehemiah is more of an historical record of what was happening at this point in time. Here, in Divrei Hayam, Ezra is zooming in. I see the big picture, I see the background. Let's now focus on select individuals and highlight, emphasize their talents and their role in bringing the Shekhinah, not just their political position. Many times politics and religion overlap. That's true, and that's the way it should be. But it's not always true. There are political issues, and there are religious issues. And Nehemiah is focusing more from a political perspective. Whereas here, we're focusing very specifically on only religious issues.
But then, doesn't it become a chronicle of missed opportunities?
Yes. Yes, it does.
That's not very uplifting, right?
At the time when it was written, it was presented to the people. And they at that point in time, it wasn't too late. Right now, it was 20 years after the Bayis Sheni was built. Right now, just want Ein Davar Oymo Lefnei HaRatzon. It's an Eis Ratzon. It's an Eis Mesugel. Here, look at your history. Look at the events. We're going to go through Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Melachim. We're going to reread it, and we're going to rewrite it, and we're going to extract events which should serve as inspiration, or you can say events which served as building blocks for what we can accomplish right now. And the people that I'm mentioning here, I'm not going to mention everyone, I'm going to mention people by, not going to mention everyone that was mentioned by Nehemiah, and I'm still not going to go mention what's mentioned in the secular records, and I'm not going to mention people living in the whole Eretz Yisrael, I'm only going to mention people that are living in Yerushalayim, in Binyamin and Yehuda, because this is where the Shekhinah is resting. These are the people that have their are spiritually sensitive, more so than the others in the larger list. And I'm going to mention them by different names, not necessarily by the same name as in Nehemiah, because when I change their name slightly, it will highlight their spiritual potential. And if only Klal Yisrael will have the will and the desire to take advantage, Mashiach will come. So that is what Perek Tes is all about. The first eight parakim, we are miyaches Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Ein Hashchina Shiruya Ela al Mishpachos HaMiyuchasos BiYisrael. Now we're painting a whole big picture. The Shekhinah will only rest on families that are Miyuchasos. So we want to lay the foundation. Who is Klal Yisrael? Who are our forefathers? Besides Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we have a whole long list of generations of great people leading all the way until the time of David HaMelech, the Mishpachos HaMiyuchasos of Klal Yisrael, which can serve as a vehicle to bring the Shekhinah. That's number one. Now, let's jump ahead now 500 years to the time that we're living. Who are the people? Who are the players? Who's on the roster? long, long list of people. I'm only going to select a few. I'm going to give you their names. I'm going to tell you about them and where they live and what they do in their role. These are the players that are going to bring Mashiach. And if you need a little more inspiration, we'll go from Perek Yud all the way to the end of Divrei Hayamim. I'll tell you some stories about our history from the time of David, before David, to the time of the Shoftim, time of David, the Malachim, and let's look at those stories and see, take lessons, spiritual lessons, not political lessons, not general mussar for life. Everything in Sefer Shmuel, in Malachim, and Sefer Shoftim are general lessons of life. You want to know how to live. You want to know how to deal with people. You want to know the consequences of sin, the reward for doing Hashem's mitzvos. So learn Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Malachim, and Sefer Shmuel. You learn a lot about life. But if you want to learn about Moshiach, the coming of Moshiach, Klal Yisrael being the Or La'amim, then let's go through history again and focus on details from a different perspective. Yeah.
You used the term potential for Moshiach.
Yes.
Was there ever a period of time where there wasn't a potential for Moshiach?
Well, Chazal explained there are different levels of potential. There are times when it's easier to bring Moshiach than other times. That's what it basically is. There are times that there's a greater Eis Ratzon. The amount of effort that we would have to put in to bring Mashiach is less than other times in our history. This moment in time was a very great Eis Ratzon, if not the greatest Eis Ratzon. If only they would want a little bit, just a little bit, that Mashiach should come, it would come. The time passed, day to day, it was a lost opportunity, and now it's 100 years later. Oh, we want Mashiach now.
In other words, it's a concept you blew it?
Yeah, you blew it. You never blow it entirely. No. You always can bring Mashiach, always. But it's not the same missed opportunity. It's not the same thing. It's an Eis Ratzon. The person wants a raise.
Historically,
yeah.
There was always some level of Gedolim who says, this is an Eis Ratzon.
Yes, yes.
It's always been.
It's always been, correct. There's always calculations to figure out in Daniel, Mone, Taklin, right.
It's a concept of, you know, of conditions.
Correct. It's a concept of, it's an Eis Mesugel, it's an Eis Ratzon, and the amount of effort you need to exert to bring Mashiach is less than would be during another period of time. This was the greatest Eis Ratzon to Klal Yisrael, and Ezra and Nehemiah were trying to wake up Klal Yisrael to want Ein Dover Oimei Lefnei HaRatzon Pasech Es Yodecha Umasbiya L'chol Chai Ratzon. He was trying to wake up their will to bring Mashiach, and that's why Sefer Divrei Hayamim was written. So we, and based on Sefer Yom Divrei Hayamim, if you want to categorize it, there are three parts. Part A is Perek Aleph through Perek Ches. Part C is Perek Yud through the end. And part B is Perek Tes. Perek Tes, we finished the genealogy. We finished bring the concept of Ein Hashchina Shriya Ela HaMishpachos Minchas HaShem Yisrael. We're not yet up to the historical record to focus on events that we can learn lessons of Moshiach from. We have to now jump ahead to the time of the Bayis Sheni, and focus on the players, the people, the important people. It's a very large list of people who participated in building the Bayis Sheni, many large list of pioneers, but we're focusing on people that have the spiritual sensitivity to achieve the goal of bringing Moshiach. That is the basic hakdama to this prayer. Let's see now a few psukim. Pasuk Aleph, V'chol Yisrael, His Yachsu V'hinom Kisuvim Al Sefer Malchei Yisrael. Now this pasuk really should be part of Perek Ches. That's what the Mefarshim say. I don't know if they mean it literally. I don't know exactly to what degree the chapter breaks in Ksuvim. I mean, I don't know. We know that the Christians, the printers, they broke up the chapters. I don't know to what if they broke up the chapters also in Ksuvim. I don't know all the details, but this pasuk certainly follows the theme of Perek.
You also have a pasuk there, and
must be.
Right, it's a psucha, but that's okay. That's true. But this pasuk, the theme of this pasuk really goes back. This pasuk really goes back to the previous parable called Yishol Hisyachasu. Everyone has been their lineage. Everyone has lineage, even though in the first 8 parakim we focus primarily on Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin, and Shevet Levi, and we didn't focus that much on the other Shvatim. Don't get me wrong, the other Shvatim also have Yichus. It's just that, where can you find their Yichus? In their books. Go to the place where they exiled, Yisach Savinam Ksuvim Al Sefer Malchei Yisrael, in the books of the Malchei Yisrael, but the Yehuda Haglu L'Bavel B'Malam, but Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, they went to exile to Bavel B'Malam in their transgression, when they transgressed against, when they sinned against Hashem, they were taken to Bavel, and they returned from Bavel, and when they returned, they brought with them their deeds, their documents, and that's why I was able to record here in this Sefer their Yichus. But the other Shvatim, the Malchei Yisrael, the other 10 tribes, they went to Golis in Ashur and other nations, and I don't know where those documents are, and that's why I'm not writing. That's one approach. But the deeper approach is, I'm only focusing on Yehuda, because it's Yehuda with Binyamin who are now going to be instrumental in bringing Mashiach. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Aleph says, V'chol Yisrael Yitzchakasu, Amarti l'cha k'tzas. I've only recorded for you in the first 8 parakim a small amount, min ha'yichusan mashem otzasi, what I found. Avol ikar yichusan al sefer malcha Yisrael. But if you want to know the ikar yichus, there's a book called Sefer Malchei Yisrael. Go find it. I don't know where it is. It's out of print. It's out of print. Go try the rear webs bookshops. But it's however the Yehuda shehiglu lebavel b'malam. But Yehuda, they have the advantage when they were exiled to Babel due to their sin. The Imoyim Hayisi, I was one of them. Ezra says, guess what? I'm from Sheva Yehuda. I went into exile with them. I had access to this book, to their lineage. The Imoyim Hayisi, Ani Ezra, the Yehusa Motzasi. I found the book. Kosov Yehusa Motzasi. I found it written, Uchasav Tiv, and I recorded it. That's a summary, that is a concluding thought for the last 8 parakim. Let's see the mitzvahs of this pasuk, since it's come out the same thing. V'chol Yisrael Hisyachasu Ko'imer. What does this mean to say? Av Shlo Yiskarti Ani Yichus Kol Yisrael. Even though I did not record the Yichus of Kol Yisrael, Hinei Kulam Nechkar Yichusam. The truth is, the Yichus of the entire Kol Yisrael is investigated, has been investigated. Vihinei Kisuvim, and there's a recording of it. Al Sefer Malchei Yisrael. V'Asef Hazeh Goli Mohem. It went down into exile with the exiles, the Aseres Hashvatim. The Eini Biyadi. I don't have it. Lahatik mimenu kol yichusam, to record, to mention their entire lineage. The Yehuda, Avol Yehuda, Hegel Bavel, Bavur Malam, due to their sin, the Sefer Yehusam Imohem, and when they went to exile, they took with them their lineage. Umashem Otsasi Bohe Takti, Ki Imohem Tsasi, because I was together with them. Okay, so that is a general review of.
We're only in Golis for 70 years here.
Correct.
As opposed to 200 for the others.
Correct. So it was a much.
Especially the ones that these are. Says Zvulun, that's what the
Malbim
says.
Zvulun and Don aren't even mentioned altogether.
Right.
They get nothing.
Well, not fully as Zvulun says, but this pasuk should belong to the last
part. Right,
period.
The last part.
I'm reading the way he's writing, what I read into it is the Lashon of Kol Yisrael Yisyachsu is, I know some of you are not mentioned. Don't feel disenfranchised. There are records for everybody. Unfortunately, we don't have it.
Right.
Kol Yisrael, everybody.
Right, exactly, right. That's exactly, everyone, right. Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly what he's saying. So this is really a summary of the last parak. It really appears, like you said, it belongs in parak ches. Okay, now we come to the real parak tes. Now, fast forward 500 years. The hayoshvim harishonim, the pioneers. Let me give you a list of the original settlers, exactly. The hayoshvim harishonim asher ba'achuzasam, who took possession be'orehem, in their cities. I'm going to give you a list from the Yisrael, HaKoyanim, HaLeviim, VeHaNesinim. Four groups. I'm going to give you the Koyanim, the Leviim, and the Nesinim. The Nesinim here, they were a group, they were basically, we know they were the Givonim. They tricked Yehoshua into making a shvuah that he would not kill them. They were really, the Givonim were the Kananim. And Yeshua really, Nikaradin, could have killed them, but it would have been bad PR, it would have been a Chil Hashem, so he chose not to kill them, and instead he made them water carriers and wood choppers. They were the service sector of the economy for Klal Yisrael. They were a very important group, and they were needed, and that's why they were mentioned. They went to Golus with Yehuda, and they returned together with them. Now, here is Pasuk Gimel, and this is critical to the theme of the Ramban. If you go to this, and we're about to go list now, it's cannot repeated. There's a lot of similarities between what's here in the Sefer Nechemiah Perek Yud Aleph. But the big difference is, in Nechemiah, we mention the entire Eretz Yisrael. And here we're only going to focus on Yerushalayim, because the Yerushalayim is the Mokom Hashrohas Hashchina. That's where the Beis Hamikdash is. That's the center of Mashiach. Uvi Yerushalayim Yashu, and then Yerushalayim settled min bnei Yehuda, umin bnei Vinyamin, umin bnei Ephraim, uMenashe. In Sefer Nechemiah, there's no mention of Ephraim and Menashe living in Yerushalayim. This is again unique that he's coming to focus that a different perspective that the Ephraim and Menashe, there were small pockets of that tribe that kept together, that also went up together with the Goyim, with Bavel people. I guess they attached themselves to the people of Bavel, and they came back to Yerushalayim to settle in the land. And also, it's important to take note that Shevet Ephraim, really represents to a certain degree the entire 10 tribes, because Yeravam ben Nevat came from Shevet Ephraim. When the Malchus split between Yehuda and Yisrael, it was Yeravam who made the split, and he was from Shevet Ephraim. And in fact, that's why the 10 Shvatim are called after Ephraim. Haben Yaker Li Ephraim. That refers to the entire Klal Yisrael, but more specifically refers to the Aseres HaShvatim, which is called Ephraim because of their leader. So here we have here Ephraim and Menashe also living in Yerushalayim. It's saying that really at this point in time, Ezra is saying, we've come back together. Tragedy has reunited us. Very scary idea that there was a division of the Malchus between Yehuda and Yisrael. They went into Galus 150 years before. Now there's been a Churban. We all are in Galus. Now we're coming back. We're coming back together. Yehuda and Binyamin, they were always together. Yehuda and Binyamin, those two Shvatim, that's Malchus Yehuda, with Ephraim, the head of Malchay Yisrael, with his brother Menashe, which really represents everyone together. So tragedy, unfortunately, was the cause of bringing Klal Yisrael back together. It doesn't make a difference who you are. We're all one and the same. Let's go further. We have now, so here are the names. Here come the big names. Now, Usai ben Amihud. Now, if you go, I'm not going to do it because I'm not prepared to do this. You go to Nehemiah, you take a look at the names. There are discrepancies. There, his name is a little, the name Usai is a little, spelled a little bit differently. There are going to be some names that appear here that don't appear there. There are some names that appear there that do not appear here. Like we said, the Rabban, we're focusing, there's a different agenda. We're focusing here on spiritual people, people that have potential to be instrumental in Mashiach. We're not just focusing on historical records of politics. Politics and religion overlap, they do, but sometimes not. And here we're making that difference. Usai ben Amihud. He's ben Omri, ben Imri, ben Bonimin. That's not Binyamin. And the Kri is Boni. His name was Bonimin. Mm-hmm. The word, his name was Boni. Min, he was from Bnei Feretz, Ben Yehuda. Now we're skipping, obviously, 20, 30 generations here in the middle. Okay, we're going back to Yehuda. Yehuda had three sons that have children, Peretz, Zerach, and Shelah. Right, those are the three significant children of Yehuda. Peretz, Zerach, the twins, and Shelah. So we're going to mention descendants from all three children. So here we have this very important person living during the time of the Bayesheni. His name is Usai. and he can trace lineage all the way back to Peretz ben Yehuda. Now, we're going to give you some of the great-great-great-grandfathers along the way who are very famous people to us. I don't think that has any meaning to us. We don't really know who these people were, but at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they were very well known, and he's very selective in who he come from. Again, Usai ben Amihud ben Amri ben Imri ben son of Boni, I guess it's the name of a person, I'm assuming, who came from Min B'nei Feretz. They were the sons of Feretz Ben Yehuda. Okay, let's go to Pasuk K. U'min HaShiloni. There's another person. Shiloni is Shela. Shela was another son of Yehuda. We have now someone here. Asaya HaBuchor Banof. Right now, let's jump now. How many generations? I don't know the numbers.
Shiloni has another meaning.
What? What does it mean? Yeah.
It means somebody...
Okay, but I think that's not the way. It could be that's an interpretation. Okay, but this over here, the way the mitzvah. So I don't disagree. Believe me, I'm sure there's so many rishonim, so many farshim. Could very well be even place. But the mitzvah on a very simple level says he comes from a descendant of Ibn Shela ben Yehuda. Okay, we want to list descendants from all three tribes of all three families of Yehuda: Peretz, Shela, and Zerach. So we have here this person who's living now. At the time, he's a pioneer of the building of the Bayis Sheni. His name is Asaya. He's the firstborn. And he has sons. He has a whole bunch of sons. They're living here. They're carved. They're living here. He's going to be part of this, of bring Mashiach. He's going to bring Mashiach. Okay, Pasuk Vos. I always wonder about Pam. Pam said that Pam Zoron Levracha, towards the end of his life, he said that I don't know if he said he doesn't think Mashiach's going to come in his lifetime, but he says that the parents today have an obligation. The parents, people who are raising children today have an obligation like never before, because the little children, the kinderlach in the yeshiva katana, are definitely going to see Mashiach. That's what he said. Apam said, "There's no question that we're here. We'll look what's going on in this world." How much longer is it going to happen? So the kinderlach, in kindergarten, pre-1A, they're going to see Mashiach within 50 years. 50 years, they're going to, maybe 70 years, whatever it is. And therefore, l'may nafkamina, all of you adults that were sitting here in the room, who's talked a lot of, you are raising the dar shel Mashiach. So you have a very great obligation on your plates, this rest, a very big obligation. The chinuch you give them is the chinuch that they're going to use when they're makabel melech HaMashiach. Which generation could say that? Well, I guess every generation wanted to say that, but he's saying now we're coming down to the end and it has to be like this. So here, that's really what he's saying. That's what Ezra is saying. Ezra here is saying, look, the Bayis Sheni, I mean, think about it. Tell you what, the Bayis Sheni is being built. We built a Bayis, there's a Chorban, and we rebuilt. 70 years later, we rebuilt. Now 20 years into the Bayis Sheni, we have a Beis HaMikdash. Look at these Sadiqim, these Gedolim. These are the people that are going to be Mekabel Melech HaMashiach. He's pointing them out. There's Usai. Usai is an Einikol from Peretz. We have this person, Asoya, an Einikol from Shela. He's the Bechor, and he has sons. These are. Don't play around with these people. They're going to be Mekabel Melech HaMashiach. Pasuk Vav, Umin B'nei Zerach. Okay, the third branch of Yehuda. We have this person, his name is Yuel. The Achayhem, who are their underlings? Who are the people that are
subordinates?
V'achayhem, their brethren, sheish meos v'sishim 690. Now, if you go to Sefer Nehemiah, they have a whole different number. I think 400 and something. There's a whole different number. So obviously, what's going on over here? The discrepancy between the two. So that's the same answer. The Ramban, different agenda. These are religious. These are people that have spiritual sensitivities. Whereas in Nehemiah, we're not focusing on the spiritual sensitivities. We're focusing on Tachlis, focusing on who's going to get the job done, who's going to be the water carriers, who's going to go and do the maintenance, who's going to be the governor, and who's going to do all the work for the state. It's more of a political approach. Here's more of a spiritual approach. Pasuk Zayin, Umin b'nei Binyamin, who are the people living today at the time of the Bayis Sheni, who are descendants of Binyamin. We have this person, his name is Salu ben Meshulam, ben Ho Davia, ben Hasanua. And we also have this person, V'yiv Niyah, ben Yerocham. And we have this person, V'ela ben Uzi, ben Michri, U'meshulam ben Shefatia, ben Ru'ul, ben Yiv Niyah. These are their names. We're tracing them back a couple of generations. Maybe we're skipping generations. They were well known at their time, and they took pride in their lineage, and we mention them. V'achehem, lisolidosam. Who are their brethren, their subordinates, their children, their grandchildren, their cousins, and so on and so forth. Tishameos, 956, Kol Eile, all of these people, Anashim, Rosh Avos, Leves Avosehem, all the people mentioned by name were leaders for their family, for the house of their fathers. Okay, so we have a Yehuda and Binyamin, three branches of Yehuda and a couple of distinguished members of Shev Binyam. Yes, what's bothering you?
Beat a dead horse for a second. In Parshas Pinchas, by you, Bnei Yehuda, l'mishpachosom, l'sheilom, mishpachas
hasheiloni. Okay.
Not hasheiloni.
Hasheloni. Okay. Hasheloni. Here it's Hasheloni. Okay, so that's very common in Devar Hayomim. All the words are spelled a little bit differently. Okay, let's go a few more psukim. Pasek Yud. Pasek Yud says, "Umin haKoyhanim." Who were the Koyhanim? But just his names. We have Yedaya, Viho Yoriv, Viochin, Vazarya, Ben Chilkia, Ben Meshunah. Azarya, we're going to trace his lineage. The other three we did not. The other three, well, we just said their names. But Azarya, Ben Chilkia, Ben Meshulam, Ben Tzadok, Ben Mirayos, Ben Achitov. He was a Negid. This person, Azarya, was a prince. Beis Olakim, he was a prince in the house of Hashem. Now, what does it mean, a prince? What role? He was a president? He was a treasurer? I do not exactly know what it means. What is it? Azariah looks here. Mitzudos, who Soraya Hanema, but he's Soraya mentioned in Nehemiah. Mimune al Beis Elokim, the CEO or the chief executive officer. I don't know exactly what you want to call him, but he was in charge. Nothing happens in the Beis Hamikdash without his permission. Okay, Pasik Yud Beis Va'adoya ben Yerocham ben Pashchur ben Malkia. He was another important person. Next, Uma Asai ben Adiel ben Yachzera ben Meshulam ben Mishilemis ben Imer. Another important person. These are all the pioneers, and we trace their lineage a couple of generations back. Pasuk Gimel, Va'achayhem Roshim Leves Avosam, they are brethren who were leaders in their father's house. Elef, what was the grand total number of the Kohanim? All of the numbers of the Kohanim. Elef, 1,000, Ushvameos, Veshushim, 760, Gibor Chayil, warriors, Meleches, they were mighty warriors, Meleches, Avodas Beis, Hoelokim, to do the service of the Beis HaMikdash. These are the pioneers. The numbers are not the same as in Nehemiah. Again, a different agenda, people that have sparks of Melech HaMashiach in them, according to the Ramban. Whole new agenda.
Do you interpret this in a military way?
No. Not I don't think so. I would say not, right?
No. The Kohanim did a lot of physical labor.
They did be very strong.
In their service.
Yeah, that's true. Right. I carry those heavy animals.
So they were.
And they had to be physically strong, physically fit. Okay, Gibor Echayel. Okay, Mulach HaSavadis Pesachim. Next, Pasik Yudalat, Umin Alevim. Now let's focus on the Levim. Okay, the singers and the gatekeepers, all different branches. Shemaya. Ben Chashuv, Ben Azrikam, Ben Chashavia, Min B'nei Merari. Oh, so we're going to bring up the Levim to different families. Okay, we want to also representatives. Here it's the Bayis Sheni where we build and bring Mashiach. We have to trace, we have to have different members of different families. Next, Pasuk Tes Vav, Uvak Bakar, Cheres, V'Golol. These individuals, name was Cheresh, a name called Golol. Umatanya ben Micha ben Zichri ben Asaf, him we trace back to ben Asaf. Okay, he goes back to Asaf. Next, Velvadya ben Shemaya ben Golol ben Yidusun. Next, Uverechya ben Asaf ben Elkanah Hayeshev the Chatzrei Nitofasi, who lived in the courtyard of, no, that was the name of a place, this is, let's see, Pasuk Tezvav in the Mitzudos, Hayoshev Chatzrei Nitofasi, Al Elkono Yoimar, An Elkono Yoimar, Kibrachio Yoshav. This is going on that person because Barach Yoshab Yerushalayim. So he's making a point over here that this person is the first person that did not live in Yerushalayim. Because when we started these lists in Pasuk Gimel, we mentioned that they were all living in Yerushalayim. That's a very important point for Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Melech HaMashiach. Everything is about Mashiach, bring Mashiach, potential. We're only focusing on Yerushalayim, we're not focusing on other parts of Eretz Yisrael. In the Chen, we focus on all of Eretz Yisrael. However, Elkanah was an exception. He was a very important person. He could not afford the rent in Yerushalayim. He had to live out in the place called Nitofasi. You ever hear of that place today? I don't know, is there such a place? Wherever it is.
Near Kibbutz Lavi, you have a Kibbutz Penitofah, Yishuv.
Okay, I don't know if it's the same thing. Nitofasi.
No,
yeah.
That's what they call it. They gave okay.
Pasid Yud Zayin. Okay, so now let's focus on the other branch of the Levim, Vehashoyarim. So the first branch, I'm assuming they were the singers. I'm just making that assumption. Maybe I'm wrong, but they were the singers. Now we have the next group, the Vehashoyarim, the gatekeepers. What?
It's a good assumption because they come from Asaf.
Oh, so I'm not sure if that Asaf is the famous Asaf. It could be just someone had the name Asaf. Maybe it is. Not necessarily. The names are interchanged. Let's see. Is there a Mitzudos on that Pasuk? Ben Asaf, Pasuk Tezvav? Okay, but it's not Mucha. We're dealing over here much later. Not dealing with the time of Dove. We're dealing 500 years later. A lot happened. So, okay. Could be. Let's assume that they were the singers. Now we come to another branch of Levim, the gatekeepers. Pasuk Yitzayim v'Hashem, the gatekeepers. We have this person. His name was Shalom, v'Yakov, v'Talmoin, v'Achimon, v'Achihem, and their brother, Shalom Horosh. Shalom in charge. Shalom the head. He was their brother and he was the leader of this group. He was the head maintenance man. I don't mean to say it in a negative term. He was the head gatekeeper. Pasuk Yud Ches.
He was continuously?
What? No, then. Mishmaros. There were 24 Mishmaros.
So he's rule 24?
He was in charge. He was the administrator.
Yeah.
I assume they broke it down. We're going to have soon the mention of the Mishmaros. The Mishmaros originally, the Mishmaros, see, there were 24 Mishmaros. I guess they had different administrators in charge of something like that.
Viad
Heina, Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches, Viad Heina. Until this point in time, until let's just read the whole Pasuk and read the Mitzudos. Bishar HaMelech, Mizracha. In the gate of the king on the east, Hema Hashoyarim Lemachanos Bnei Levi. Now, what does this pasuk mean? Let's see the mitzvah. This pasuk Yud Ches, the Ad Hena, and then we'll see the Rashi because it's a hard pasuk. Ratzolaymar Kimosh Yosah David Ushmuel Es Hashoyarim, just like David and Shmuel. The pasuk is going to say this. We'll see in a few moments. That's David and Shlomo established the 24 Mishmaros until the time as Sharm Kain Hoyo Kol Yimei Amidas Habayis. That's how it was from the time the Bayis Harishain was established, the Adhena until now, 500 years later, the Bayis Hasheni, Bashar, La'amoid. There was a mishmar established for the Levim, in addition to the Kohanim, to stand, lishmar to guard, b'shar asher hamelech bo haponim mizracha. Hema who the people, shalom v'chaverav hayushardim b'shar har b'abayis, shehi machane levia. We know that the king, that was the haftorah, I think from last week's haftorah, if I'm not mistaken, Parshas Re'eh. I'm not mistaken that when the king, maybe make mistakes, it's different Haftarah, that when the king comes into the Beis HaMikdash, he enters the east gate. Well, how does it go?
Well, over here they're talking about the east gate over here.
The king, there's a difference between the way the king comes and goes whenever he wants into the Beis HaMikdash than on the Moadim. On the Moadim, okay, I don't remember the details. The king, when a regular person comes to the Beis HaMikdash, you come in one gate and you go out a different gate. The king has a different order. However, on Yom Tov, then the king is supposed to go the same way all the people go, the Hamonam. It's a pasuk. I don't remember the pasuk. So here, we're making mention over here is that in this pasuk Yitzayin, and pasuk Yitzchess, Viad Heino, this was the way it was done from the time immemorial. From the time of David HaMelech until now, for basically for 500 years, Bishar HaMelech Mizracha, they stood, this family, Shalom, Akov, Talmon, Achimon, Va'achihem, Shalom HaRosh, they stood on the east gate. The east gate was where the king would go travel. That was the gate that was miyuchid for the king entrance. When a person would come, they would go through a different gate. But when the king came in from the east, Hema HaShayarim, they were the gatekeepers, L'machnos B'nei Levi. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, that Hena B'Shar HaMelech HaMizracha Pisroim. What does this mean? The interpretation is as follows. Ad mehola, ad hashar, until further, ad hashar sheshmo shar hamelech hamizracha. Heima hashayarim shalom ve'echav mimachnos. Okay, I'm not sure what Rashi means. Ad mehola. Until there. Okay, listen, like, similar, not like the Mitzudos. That this was the system in place that this family would guard the east gate where the king would enter. Okay, maybe we'll stop here with this pasuk, and Mirch on Monday we'll pick it up with pasuk Yud. We'll go with pasuk Yud Chas on Monday.